Praise God. God is good. Amen. You know, I can really feel the presence of God here this morning. Can you really feel the presence of God? Actually, I'm talking about the mustard seed this morning, representing the kingdom of God. But I was sitting there, I didn't know that Pastor Reg was going to put up the picture of the building. I didn't know, you know, how far the building had got. But, you know, when I was sitting there, I just was sitting there and I saw this mustard seed growing. Growing, growing. You know, a mustard seed is so small. It's so small that if I held it up, you wouldn't see it. It's actually like the end of a needle. It is so small. And as I was sitting there, I saw this mustard tree growing, 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 growing so big out of this place. I could just see it growing. But as it was growing, you know, that seemed amazing as it was, that's going to grow so high. But as it was growing, I saw other shoots going out. Other seeds were dropping all over the place. Because the bigger the mustard tree grows, the more seeds are falling. And I see these seeds falling, and I saw small mustard seeds and trees and big mustard trees and medium mustard trees, and I just kept seeing all these trees. And some of these trees aren't even known as the same name. They're a mustard tree, but they're known as a different name, but they are still part of the one tree. And also I saw this mustard tree going out into other countries. Other countries. And actually I saw a bigger tree than the bigger tree here in another country. I saw a bigger tree. That's how much the mustard tree is going to grow. In other words, the kingdom of God is going to grow and the tree is coming out of this church. God is amazing. God is amazing. And when Pastor Reg started talking about the building, I thought, God, that's the mustard tree. And Father, we've got to believe if that's what you're showing me, then the resources will come in. The resources will come in. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. In Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 32, and then he said, Jesus, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is grown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. Do you know that? Smaller than any other seed on earth. We have to get hold of that this morning. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. You know, this parable actually is repeated three times out of the four times in the Gospels. You know, this verse is very small, but I tell you what, it's powerful. This message is powerful. The mustard seed is powerful. This parable speaks of the destined greatness of the kingdom, contrasting its limited present significance in a small band of original followers with worldwide dominion. Worldwide dominion, amen? In addition to using this parable in these verses, it's also illustrated in the area of faith. See, the disciples, they were trying to cast out demons out of this boy and they wouldn't move. And you know what, in Matthew 17:20 says this, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, remember how small that mustard seed is. It's like a fleck. You wouldn't be able to see it. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You know what, people? He's talking about you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for this church. Nothing will be impossible. You know, we're listening about the humble mustard seed again. It's a little humble seed. Sometimes our faith, people, may seem small and weak. But you know what? It can still accomplish the humanly impossible. Is that tremendous? This mountain is an illustration for an obstacle, for hindrance, or humanly unsurmountable problem. None of which is impossible for God. See, nothing is impossible for God to deal with. Through committed people who actually understand their authority in Him. We need to understand our authority in Him. And even though we are small as a mustard seed, we have authority and everything is possible for us. People who know His power. People who know His word. People who know His will. People who know His purpose. People who know His direction. People who know His incredible love and kingdom principles. I encourage you this morning, don't minimize what God can do through you. Amen? Singly and corporately, don't minimize what God can do through you. See, God does not think small. And when He looks at you people, He looks at how big you are in Him. Amen? Even though you can't see it yourself. Sometimes we just can't see how God can move, how God can change things, how God can resource something so big. You know, I have a friend in India. I always talk about India because it's so far away and maybe they're not listening to me talking about them. Is that good? Actually, my friend over here told me that Reg calls them Barb and something else, the same name. So that's what I'm going to do in future. Just use the same name. You know, Renita, her husband was a ship's captain. And she, you know, I met her, I think about in 1991. I met her when her three-year-old son had just died of cancer. She came to the Lord in that time and she really believed that her son would be healed. And then she had two little sons straight after. And so her son actually died at the age of three. Then she had two little sons straight after that. And you know, she battled and she battled and she kept on going on with God. She kept trying and you know, it was such a loss for her, which it is when we lose a son. So when her boys, her second boy was 16 years of age, I was actually chatting to him in India. And actually he was a really good runner. Actually he could have been a famous runner. And you know, and it was just an incredible young man, a young man of God. So imagine when I got the news that this 16-year-old boy had died of cancer. She lost two sons of cancer. He came home one day and he said, you know, I've got a pain in my back. And she bought him new shoes, you know, running shoes. And she thought maybe it's the running shoes that are giving him the bad back. But when he went to hospital, you know what? He was dead in one week. The tragedy that hit that family was incredible. The husband was out in way over in Africa. He couldn't get back. And you know, she didn't want to tell him that her son was dead. Somehow got an email and he got an email that his son was dead. So imagine the tragic for this couple. Very well off couple, an amazing couple. You know, and I kept on ministering over years and years and years. You know, she went to town one day. And one woman said to her, I haven't seen you in church for a couple of years. She said, you know, I've lost two sons. I'm finding it very difficult. She said, you need a big kick up the backside and get back to church. And, you know, I'm trying to mentor this woman from Perth. Isn't that sad? But, you know, well, God's amazing. Because, you know, I look at Renita and she's just the most wonderful woman. And he's really gone into big business because that's how he's been able to, you know, manage his grief. Is, you know, but she had this love for children. If you ever saw children, children would come to her. And you know what? About 5 years ago, she started going to this amazing church in Mumbai. And this pastor, he started seeing something in her. Because every time everybody looked at Renita, she was the woman that lost two sons. That's who she was. But he saw much more than that. He saw the mustard seed. He'd seen what God had planted in her life. And you know what? One day he said to her, I think you should work in children's church. Just work there with the children. She said, do you understand my broken heart? He said, I still think you should work with children. So she started working with children. And these children, most of them, were from the slums. And there were 60 and 80 of them. And I'll tell you what Renita's doing today. She is running that children's church. She's got over 100 or so kids, and I know that she supports them. not only spiritually, but she supports her and her husband. And husband said to me, I saw him, he said, it's costing me so much to feed all these children. And they are feeding and supporting and teaching these children to love God. You know, because someone saw the mustard seed inside of her. And you know what? She's grown to a big tree. And when I saw her last year, she said to me, all that is past behind me. My future now is to serve the Lord and to reach as many children as I can. Is that incredible? That's incredible. So what attracts Jesus to this tiny seed called the mustard seed? I mean, it's so small. It's so insignificant. I believe what attracted Jesus to this tiny seed so much is its unbelievable potential. God can see unbelievable potential in a mustard seed. The mustard seed was evidence that God could bring something great out of something so insignificantly small. And you know what, people? Sometimes we think we are insignificant. Renita thought that God had left her and she was insignificant and she was going to be in mourning for the rest of her life. But you know what? I've come to tell you this morning, God is attracted to you. Amen? Don't worry about the men and women. God's attracted to us. You know, you may think, well, who am I? I don't have a lot of faith. But you know, in Romans, God says he has given every one of us a measure of faith. So I'm sorry, you've all got faith. God has no favorites. I think I am sometimes. Everyone has a measure of faith. And God said we would move mountains even if we have faith as big as a mustard seed. Remember, it's like a fleck. God specializes in turning little things into great things. Amen? And he hasn't changed. He will continue to do great things in your life. He'll continue to do great things in your family. He'll continue to do great things in this church. He'll continue to do great things in the community you're involved with. He'll continue to do great things in the city. And he'll continue to do great things in the nation. Because he's attracted to a small mustard seed. Let's look at the small beginnings of Jesus himself. Sometimes we forget where Jesus came from. And you know, Isaiah prophesies about Jesus. In Isaiah 11 verse 1 it says, there comes forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Isaiah 53, 2 to 3 says this, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The word says he grew up like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. Listen how much this verse sounds like a mustard seed. He had no beauty. He had no majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He's talking about Jesus. And you're worried about what you saw in the mirror this morning? Imagine it. Being a root out of dry ground. And you're attracted to no one. Just like a mustard seed, Jesus had small beginnings. He was born in the little town of Bethlehem to a humble Jewish carpenter named Joseph and a peasant teenage girl called Mary, who was pregnant before she was married. He grew up in the little Galilean town of Nazareth. For 30 years, he lived in relative obscurity. But then in three years, following his baptism by John in the River Jordan, we read of Jesus' life. We read about his teachings. We read about his miracles. We read about his death, his burial and resurrection. Jesus left the most impacting, the most lasting impact of anyone who has ever set foot on this earth. He has left the biggest footprint that anyone will ever leave on this earth. And we forget this. We forget about his humble beginnings. You know, just like us. Sometimes we hang on to our humble beginnings. But let us believe that God can turn that mustard seed into a large tree. Many of us could say, you know what? That sounds like me. A mustard seed. Small and insignificant. But you know what I've come to tell you? God sees the potential in every one of you. God sees the beauty. God sees your heart. Amen? God knows the purpose he has for you. You might think that when Pastor Reg was born, that God said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this man? What can I do with him? Well, I've come to tell you, he'd already planned Pastor Reg's life. He has a purpose for him. Amen? And when you're born, God didn't say, oh, what am I going to do with Lorette? He probably did, but anyway. Because God has a plan for every one of us. The trouble is, God has a purpose. And we spend our whole life trying to be like somebody else and wonder why we don't fulfill our purpose. If we just stayed in the purpose of God, we would fulfill our purpose. Because, you know, he has designed every one of us for a purpose. My mother loved ballerina. I know you're going to laugh now. My mother loved. And if she had a different life, she would have been really a famous ballerina. She would have. Well, then I was born. So she thought she'd live the ballerina stuff through me. You're all laughing, aren't you? So I was sent to ballerina school. I couldn't dance on my little fat toes even if I tried. But what was I doing when I was little? I was fighting for all the kids in the school. All the kids that everybody else put down, I was fighting for them. I really did fight. If you hurt one of my people, I used to punch up. See, I was born for a purpose. I've stopped hitting. Sometimes. But you know what I'm saying? We're all born differently because God has a different purpose. So stop trying to change your design. Of course we grow in God. Of course we change. Of course we grow. It's not what I'm saying. But the seed's been planted. All we have to have, people, is the faith of a mustard seed. And we can move powerfully in God and see miracles through our own lives. We can, and you know, through these miracles, the kingdom of God grows. Amen? And that's what it's all about, the kingdom of God growing on this earth. We have to stop looking at ourselves. We've got to stop looking at our past. We've got to look at God. Jesus did, and you know what he said? Your will, not mine. What I love about Jesus, he went through a lot. But you know what? He was never a victim. Never was Jesus a victim. Even in his death, he was in control. He was victorious because he submitted only to the will of the Father. Even though he's betrayed by his friend Judas, the cheek of it, Judas kissed him and still betrayed him. Imagine at that time the world would have been spinning for Jesus. But I tell you what, Jesus was in control because he allowed himself to submit to the word of the Father. Having considered the small beginnings of Jesus, let's consider the small beginnings of the kingdom. We need to be reminded how all this started. Just to convince you that God specializes in turning little things into great things, and that's you and me. He can turn little things into great things. Amen? In Daniel chapter 2, verse 35, it says, Daniel prophesied concerning the kingdom. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. That's the kingdom. Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Hear me, he will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And the kingdom will not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. We need to shout a shout of praise, because you know what, people? The kingdom will never be destroyed. No matter what we see and what we hear, what's going on in the nations of the world, I've come to tell you the word of God says his kingdom will never be destroyed, but it will continue to grow and consume the earth. Amen. Whatever you're seeing or not seeing in this world, remember that God's kingdom will never be destroyed. Praise God. You know, at the time of Jesus' ascension, we need to be reminded of this. There actually was a total of 131 disciples living in Jerusalem. 131 disciples. And of them, that includes 11 remaining apostles and the 120 disciples who had not deserted Jesus after his crucifixion. Many deserted him. You know what? There was 131 followers following Jesus. Doesn't sound much like a kingdom to me, does it? It's not a very big kingdom. There's more people in this room than there was at the beginning. So it's a pretty small kingdom. So what happened after Jesus left this world? I'll tell you what happened. In Acts 2, we learn on the day of Pentecost, the kingdom grew to 3,000 in one day. In Acts 4, 2, in Acts 4, two chapters later, it increased to 5,000. In Acts 6, we learn that the kingdom was no longer adding, but it was multiplying very rapidly. In Acts 9, we see the kingdom, the church, branching out like the mustard plant to Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And in time, the kingdom of heaven advanced to the Gentile nations in the uttermost parts of the world. Amen? From 131 disciples. Can you imagine how many Christians are on the earth today? All from a little seed, like a mustard seed. I believe this parable of the mustard seed teaches us a very important biblical principle. You know what that is? God specializes in turning little things into great things. Little things into great things. I tell you what, it was a very small beginning. It's going to have a great big end. He's talking about us. We are to be kingdom builders by the power of the Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says this, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You know what, people? God turned a little seed into great things. Into great things. We are like that little seed. But as we submit to God's word, we grow into a large tree. Amen? And we'll be a shelter to many, bringing many into the kingdom of God. So how little you think you are this morning has got nothing to do with it. It's how big God sees himself in you. Praise God. Another woman in India who's affected my life, and her name is, her name's good for mine, Marina. I met Marina in 1991. She lived in India. She lived in, what's the place called, David? It's gone from my head. Anyway. She lived in this town, Kalina. She lived in a town. In those days, Kalina's actually quite upmarket at the moment. But in those days, Kalina was a dirty, filthy place. It really was a rough place and everything. You know, Marina was brought up in this little town. Actually, she came down from way down south of India, but that's where she married and that's where she lived. And, you know, and she was going to a church there. And you know, very involved in religion. And you know, and God started coming at night, and Jesus started coming at night, and he started telling these all these things about him and salvation and all that. Just her. Just kept telling her and telling her. And you know, she started talking to about other people about it, and she really got crucified. And what happened was she got thrown out of the church. But when she left the church, 50 women left with her. That really wasn't a good sign. That wasn't a good sign. 50 women left with her. So you know what they did? The men took out the rocks and they started stoning them. They actually started stoning them. And you know, but she couldn't get over what God was showing her and that what salvation was already about. And she just couldn't stop herself and she just kept talking to everybody about Jesus. And her husband got wilder and wilder and wilder at her. So he beat her. And he beat her, but she still kept going out telling people about Jesus, and he kept on beating her. Then one night he went out, and 10 people, I feel really sad about this, but 10 people beat him up. I feel very sad. He got beaten up. Marina was a nurse, and when they dropped him on the front lawn, I know what I would have done, you know. But the Lord said to her, minister to him. So she actually nursed him back to health. Isn't she wonderful? She really is. And you know what he said? I will never come against your God again. And this woman, and she started, you probably know Woman's Aglow, and you think many things about that, but you know what? I'm telling you. She started Woman's Aglow, and she just used that so that she could go around the whole place ministering. So she put up a big sign, Woman's Aglow, leave the sign, then she'd go on ministering to all the people, and you got no idea. I actually traveled 23 states with this woman. I learned most of what I know today from this woman. Then one day, you know, I heard about how America got hold of her, and because her daughter lived in America, which actually was a head psychologist in America. And so she was going to America, and so they put her in, you know, the Women's Aglow over there, they put her right up at the top. And there was this little woman from Kalina ministering out of America. Then one day, you know, someone said, they had DVDs or whatever then. She said, you've got to hear this, you'll see Marina. And there was my friend Marina ministering to 8,000 women in America. And you know what? She's actually 11 years older than me. And you know what, people? She's still ministering. She's still ministering. Can you believe that? Isn't that incredible? I'd go on a train with her. And, you know, I'd sit on the seat and she'd sit on the train, on the floor. And she'd just say, God, show me something about that person. Could be anything, knitting. And she'd start talking to them. The time I got to the station, she had won someone. She had won them to the Lord. Wherever she went, thousands and thousands she brought to the Lord. A little woman born in Kalina, which was a nothing place. But God saw that mustard seed. Amen. I've got to tell you this because I think it's so funny. But I travel with her and, you know, she'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start speaking in tongues for hours and all I wanted to do was go to sleep. Wake up, she said. Wake up. And, you know, then we'd go to eat. Instead of eating, what happened? She would start talking to all the waiters, bring him to the Lord. And I said to her, come on, Marina. Can't we have our meal in peace? You know what she said to me? You need to pray more. And you need to eat less because you're too fat. She did. And you need to think of others more. That's what she said to me. And we're still friends. What an amazing, amazing woman. I like people that are honest, but please don't go and tell me that this morning. God turned a small handful of disciples into the glorious church. Remember, people, it started with a handful. And you got much more than a handful here. God turned a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes into enough food to feed 5,000 people. The Bible says that we will never be left begging bread for our children. That just came to me this morning. That's for someone here that's worrying about how they're going to support their children, how they're going to pay the bills, how they're going to put the food on the table. God's saying to you this morning, you'll never be left begging bread for your children. God turned Gideon's small band of 300 soldiers into victorious champions who defeated the Midianite army. We are meant to be victorious people, not victims. Jesus was never a victim, even in death. We must never underestimate what great things God will do and continue to do through the church family, this church family and other church families. Amen? The branches on the kingdom will never be cut down. Never be cut down. It will continue to produce new seed planted into many new lives, many new places, many new homes, many new cities, and many new towns. See, I know a place up north of Western Australia. I think it was Nullagine, is that right? Nullagine was up there. Our church, the Apostolic Church, years and years ago used to send missionaries up there, missionaries up there, missionaries up there. Then the government took over in that, and you know what? And the church became no more. And I just found out, because I was at Kalgoorlie last week with the C3, and you know what? The C3 church have started a church in Nullagine, and it's growing like mad. Because I've come to tell you, whatever seeds you plant, if they are the seeds of a mustard seed, they will always produce fruit. They might become dormant for a while under the sand. They might be, you can't see them. And this is about some people in your lives. You just can't see. You can't see God moving right now. You just cannot see him. I'm going to tell you, those roots will never die. Your roots of faith will never die. Your roots of hope will never die. And you know what? That church has now got a lot more people in it up north than it ever did before. Isn't that tremendous, people? It is tremendous. Praise God. So the branches of this king, of his kingdom will never be cut down. They'll continue to produce new seed, as I said, planted in many lives. People, let us be that mustard tree to this nation and nations of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Father, every one of us has a mustard seed. Faith of a mustard seed, Father, which is absolutely nothing. And you said, if we have faith of a mustard seed, we will see amazing miracles. Father, I just nurture that mustard seed up in people's lives right now. Father, I pray that everyone will be here, not just go out and say, oh, that was a good message, but you know what? God really touched me, and I'm going to really believe. Even if I feel I'm insignificant, I'm going to know I am significant. Even though things aren't happening in my life, I know that God's going to do great miracles in my life and through me. Even if my family's in a mess right now, I know God has got every one of them. Father, I just pray this, prophesy this over this church right now in Jesus' name. And I prophesy for finances. I pray for prophesy for finances to come in. Supernaturally. You said you don't have to beg bread for our children. We don't need to beg bread for our churches. So Father, I pray an amazing miracle will happen just in time for this church building. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, people.
Come on, let's give Pastor Lynette another hand, everybody.